Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Emily Burke.
Hello.
And Mike Mowry. Mike Mowry has his own company called Outer Loop. Mike Mowry lives in the DC area. Mike Mowry travels a lot. He's very, very knowledgeable, and I think that a lot of us, myself included, can learn a lot from this man. Emily, what do you know about Mike?
I know that Mike owns Outer Loop Management. I know that Mike lives in D.C. I know that Mike has his own podcast. And I know that his name is Mike.
Well, that changed my life. Thank you so much for saying that. And I also know that Mike manages this band called Ice Nine Kills, who I am definitely a big fan of musically. And I'm just really excited to have him on the show. Speaking of the show, who are our next series of guests?
We have Corey Rechlin.
From?
From one of your old bands, Greenlight Theory.
That's right. He was the lead singer of Greenlight Theory, and I've never had a former or current band member. I'm not a full-time musician anymore. I still play every now and again, but I've never had someone that I've been in a band with on the show, so we're going to really get down to the nitty-gritty with that one. And who's after him?
Mara.
Mara from Superior Music Publishing. Fist bump to you, Emily, for getting
that.
I am too far away. I'm sorry. You guys can't see it, but that was a reach, literally and figuratively. So Mara owns Superior Music Publishing, and we have never had someone from the publishing world on this show. So that is exciting. Do you know who the next guest is? It rhymes with Lobby Beater.
Bobby Meter.
Yes. And he is managed, he's in a band called Stock Smile, and I've said this before in previous broadcasts, we try to make it 90% industry, someone like Mike Mowry, and 10% artists like Corey Rechlin and Bobby Meter, but I'd say now it's like 88-12, so sorry, bro. But Bobby Meter is someone I've heard is really rad from his partner, well, actually, no, from my partner, I don't know who his partner is, but my partner, Ross Roby, we manage producers together, and Ross manages Stock Smile. So I'm really excited about that. And then the following week, who do we have?
Oh, me again?
It rhymes with Basin Ballas.
Jason Mollis.
No, you got half of it right. It's Jason Hollis. He managed a band called the Pink Spiders, who performed on Warped Tour with my old band, The City Drive, and was definitely way bigger than us, and just had really smart, catchy pop rock songs. And the dude Jason's a hustler. But back to Mike, I appreciate the fact that he is spending an hour of his time with a phone call for me. So, well, actually, phone call for you. Phone call for Emily.
Yeah, this is all about me. Sorry, guys.
Yes, actually, after this show, we're going to call it Burke's Word.
Yeah, the single word that I contribute every week.
I'd say you contribute at least six and at most eight. So thank you for that. And this show is on every single Tuesday, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. So tune in. And every single Sunday, it's reran. Is that the past tense of rerun?
Isn't rerun the past tense?
So rerun is the past tense of rerun. I have an English degree and I'm fucking this up. Rerunning?
It reruns.
It reruns. Yeah. Good. Thank you. And I just had a colonoscopy, so I don't have any more reruns.
Oh, yeah, that affects your head.
No, I was trying to make a joke, and you interrupted me. I was saying that I don't want to have the reruns. Thank you. Yeah, it's always effective to talk about poop with a member of the opposite sex or same sex. So anyway, Mike Mowry, thank you so much for this interview. Stick around. Did we even establish that the show reruns on Sunday? Can you say when it reruns on Sunday?
The show reruns Sundays at 8 a.m. Eastern and then 5 a.m. Pacific.
Dope. So I'm going to give you guys one word to describe how excited I am about this show, and it's yeah.
Yeah.
Stick around. Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Emily Burke and Mike Mowry.
Hey, hey, how are you?
Hi.
You are currently not in DC, correct?
That is correct.
You do not need to give your GPS coordinates, even though by the time this airs, it will be outdated. But what are you doing right now and where are you?
I lead this crazy life where it's a constant slippery slope between vacation and always working. So the beautiful thing about owning my own business is it gives me flexibility and freedom. So when crazy friends say, hey, we're renting a beach. Sorry, a house.
They're renting a beach? Are you friends with Warren Buffett, dude? Like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I thought it was Warren Buffet. Isn't that the really fat guy?
It might be. It might be basically Warren's Soup Plantation out in L.A. And I saw a picture of you almost with Ellen DeGeneres. So you roll with a higher net worth than I do.
Yeah, you know, it's no comment.
Hashtag.
But friends of mine, so have you heard about this solar eclipse? I guess by the time this episode airs, the eclipse will have already happened.
Or our planet will submerge. One of those two things.
But there's a massive solar eclipse, and one of my best friends, a singer for a band called Good Clean Fun that I played bass in for a long time, he is a big nerd and identified that this eclipse was happening and convinced a whole bunch of us to come down to North Carolina, where we've rented a house on the beach. And then on Monday, August 21st, we will drive further down to South Carolina to be within the path of totality, which just sounds cool. But that
well, the way you delivered it sounds way cool too. The path of totality.
I mean, it almost sounds like it could be a hardcore band, or with the unfortunate uprising that's going on in our country, it could be something way worse. So,
as you said, no comment. As I am going to say, comment. Fuck Trump. Sorry, that slipped from my tongue. I didn't mean it. I don't mean anything I say.
I think you're supposed to go, and I know we can use whatever language we want, but I always thought it was like truck fump or something. I thought you were supposed to get creative and move.
I'm not creative with the word fuck. There are certain words like fuck you or fuck that I'm not going to attempt to be witty or sardonic. I'm just going to say fuck Trump, but I guess creatively, Trump sucks. Is that better? So anyway, North Carolina, let's go back into Good Clean Fun, because that was an excellent transition. You're a musician first, right?
Sure.
Oh, that's the least confident yes, dude. That's like the word interesting.
Yeah, I played in a punk hardcore band. I was never really a music guy or, you know, musically inclined, but my best friend, Mr. Issa of aforementioned Good Clean Fun, convinced me that I would be good enough to go to play in the band. So I did that, and it was awesome. We had a really good time. We were fortunate enough to tour the world for about 5+ years. And yeah, it was cool.
When you played outside of the U.S., what was the coolest place? And I'm not talking about cool, like cool bro, like cool as in cold temperature. Did you ever play in like Moscow?
We did not play in Moscow. We did not play in Iceland.
But that's hot there, right?
We did play in a lot of places in Canada that many people haven't been. Europe was always quite cold. You know, there was one time we took a ferry from Finland over to Sweden, and we rented this old, like, diesel van from someplace in, I guess, the Netherlands. And, like, when we tried to drive off of the ferry, and the fuel line had frozen.
Whoa.
So that was probably the coldest place that we went.
I'm telling you, I live in Southern California, and my co-host / assistant / boss across from me, Emily Burke, is from here. And she goes to school in Philly, and she told me once that 95 degrees is cold. I'm going on record in saying that.
I mean, it's not, like, hot, hot.
You're out of your mind.
95 is real hot.
It could be way worse.
No, matter where you are.
I agree.
It's probably 95 where I am, and there's a lot of humidity, and I would consider that hot.
I would too, and that's the thing about that region, and probably in the Maryland-Virginia region too, it gets sticky hot, like where you take a shower and you leave your abode and you're soaked, and I don't like that. So Mike, are you, before we get to the juice of everything, are you going to have a hush puppy while you're in North Carolina? Because I strongly recommend that.
Doubtful, but aww, you never know.
Oh,
I don't. What is a hush puppy made out of?
It's obviously corn,
not
right?
A puppy.
Well, you know, originally it was made of Dalmatians, but right now I would say it's Korn.
After 101 Dalmatians came out, there's a big uprising and no one would eat them anymore.
No, ever since that Disney film, the aforementioned film, came out, they were thinking about changing it to Hush Guppy, but they stuck with the name We Just Don't Eat Dogs Anymore.
Yeah. So as a 25-plus-year vegetarian, I never seem to end up in places like even that have weird things like that. You know, I seem to eat at places that don't have Hush Puppies. But maybe if I end up in a spot and I can be assured that it's a vegetarian item, then I will try it and take a picture and send it to you.
I would appreciate that. There's actually a barbecue place in L.A. I believe it's called Doombies or something to that extent. It's a vegan barbecue place. And I'm a carnivore. Please don't yell at me. But basically, I think they had Hush Puppies, but obviously at a place like that, they're not going to cook it with pork oil. So right. I couldn't tell you how they would do it in North Carolina. So anyway, let's get to you and let's get to how you, I guess, transitioned into artist management. And the interesting thing about this show is sometimes people tell me certain things to focus on. Sometimes they don't. I actually am really interested in learning how you're doing this in one of the non-big three cities, you know, because you could be in a band anywhere. You could be a manager anywhere. But when I think of Salad Days and I think of Discord Records, when I think of like the DC area, and I also think of my ex-girlfriend who I'll not talk about. But how did you do this? How are you who you are?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question and one that I think, you know, with the technological advances that have happened in the past, you know, 20 years, it's really made it much easier. I'm not going to say that it is the ideal location for me to be, but it is the location that I'm in and has worked for me. I'm not afraid to travel and understand that, you know, face-to-face interactions are so important in any business, but in this one in particular. And so, you know, as you indicated or alluded to earlier, I'm a man on the go, and over the course of my career I've spent quite a bit of time in New York and LA ensuring that, you know, I'm developing and maintaining the relationships that I need to benefit, you know, my artists.
Well, I mean, as we all know, and this show is an educational show. I really designed it to be the kind of thing where if someone wanted to be an artist manager in, you know, Meridian, Mississippi, and they hear the show and if this helps them in some respect, then fist in the air, we've done our job.
I mean, I think, and you can, and you know, Washington, D.C. is conveniently located. I mean, I'm a short train ride, depending on what you know, deem it short, but you know, 3+ hours train ride to New York City. You know, and there's 3 airports that all will get you to LA.
Yep.
I mean, all those things cost money. So you need to have, you know, you got to have some resources in order to go do those things. And, you know, the desire to actually go and, but you know, I'd already had a little bit of a network. You know, we talked a little bit about Good Clean Fun, the band I played in, and then I transitioned into being a tour manager.
You did Take Action, right?
I did do the Take Action tour in 2005. That's right. But my main gig, the main band that I did throughout most of my career, was the International Noise Conspiracy.
Ah, Refused.
Yes, those are the ones. So.
Rick Rubin went to my high school. You know that? Rick Rubin went to Long Beach High School on Long Island, and I know that he's worked with them. So there you go.
Yes, that's right. There was a big, yes, I was fortunate enough to stop by the house once. Rick was not there, however. But, you know, the location is helpful in some senses. You know, we are in a spot where when artists come through, they're not pulled in 50 different directions like they are in, you know, when they're in New York or LA. Now, the way that most managers in those territories operate is sort of the opposite. It's like, okay, they go to, you know, they pick a off the beaten path location and fly or drive to see their artist and get that alone time with them. So I can't say that there's a right or a wrong.
But this works for you.
There's plenty of times that I would love to be in one of the other locations, and then there's plenty of times that I go to those, you know, for 5 days to a week, hammer through a bazillion meetings, and then, you know, return to my normal life.
Well, there's two things I just thought of when you said that. It's like Vegas, I'm cool with going there for 2 days, but if I'm there for 3 days, I want to hurt myself. And also, you know, if you're in a band, let's just say you're in a band on the East Coast. I've spoke about this before, but if you're in a band in New York, or if you're in a band in DC or Philly or Jersey, or you could do a full tour, a long, like a week, actually not even long. So like a week tour and not really drive that much. So you're in a location right now where you're by so many major cities, and if you're in a band, let's just say, or manager in Denver, you're not close to anything. So you're
again,
in a good location.
I mean, the world is very flat. The internet is our friend. We've got all kinds of tools that allow us to communicate. You know, this show is a perfectly good example of, you know,
you calling
me and reaching me when I'm somewhere that isn't in an office location, and I'm not in the same location as you guys are. So, you know, I think management is just such an interesting thing, and I do reflect on it quite often because I'm very passionate about it, and passionate about, you know, where management, you know, I got into management because I wanted to help artists, and I felt like it was the most effective way for me to help artists, and still feel that way, but also realize that, you know, I've worked with plenty of other managers. I deal with plenty of other managers, and, you know, there's just a real, you got to have a certain mentality and a certain affinity for hustling, in order to, you know, to be an effective manager, especially of developing artists.
I agree.
You know, which I do a lot of.
I mean, you manage a lot of people, and the one that really sticks out to me is Ice Nine Kills. Because I'm a musician first, turn manager, and they are so technically proficient while writing extremely heavy yet grandiose songs, where they can do the heavy, I hate saying thing, because no, they write heavy music well, and you know, people who like Panic of the Disco would like them too. So I just wanted to give them a special shout out. And I don't know Spencer. I honestly don't even know you, but every interview I've read with that dude, he seems so smart. And I love that, because
he is a very smart person. And I think that's what initially really attracted me to working with them. And, you know, if you're going to develop artists, you have to find something there that gives you the hope and indication that the rest of it will, you know, kind of develop around it. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a song or a riff. And in the case of Ice Nine, you know, there was a number of things, one of which was, you know, we used to have a partnership with a local venue, and the guys who ran the venue always told me when Ice Nine came through, they're like, look, whether it's three people here or 300, this band sounds amazing, plays their hearts out, and is a good band. And then, you know, Spencer and I actually connected, and we literally connected on an intellectual level. And I could sense his passion and also sense that intelligence that you're talking about. And it's nice. It's nice when you get behind a band like that. And, you know, it's been 5+ years now, and they're really starting to come into their own. And that's quite rewarding, because, you know, there was a time when nobody gave them a chance. And mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what that reason was. But yeah, it feels good for me to have seen something in them and for it to finally kind of be, you know, manifesting itself.
Well, it's very rare for me because I live in LA, and so it's all about the bottom line with a lot of people out here that I've noticed, and it's nice to see that it sounds like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I actually enjoy being corrected when I'm wrong, so I don't hope I'm wrong, but I probably will be at some point. You work with in artist development, like a lot of managers, unless you're selling X, Y, and Z, won't even touch someone. And if you've been working with Ice Nine for 5+ years ago, you know, I don't know if they were signed. I don't know if they had as big of a base. Well, I know they didn't have as big of a base as they did now. So can you comment on that?
Well, I mean, you know, artist management is a very crowded space, and, you know, sadly, many of the artists don't necessarily look to what the manager or management team can do for them. They look at who is their biggest client, and they assume that if they're with, you know, and we're talking about relatively young people, people in their formative years, still teens, 20s, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's, you know, looking at who someone has worked with or works with is not a, in and of itself, a flaw. But I think there's a wrongful assumption from many people that, oh, if, you know, Slipknot's manager becomes my manager, I'll become Slipknot.
Yep.
It doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Now, there are opportunities that will most likely be presented because of that association. But they may or may not benefit you, and they may take, you know, quite some time. Nothing. This is in no way any knock at anything to do with Slipknot.
No, I know you're not. You're making an example. You're
just
making
trying to use a frame of reference. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, I of course, would I love to manage established artists out of the gates? Absolutely. How great would that be?
It's a lot easier.
But that wasn't what afforded itself to me. You know, I chose to be an independent person and have an independent company, and was fortunate enough that my first band, Darkest Hour, was somewhat established. When they asked me to manage them, they were on Victory Records and had been, you know, given the opportunity to play Ozzfest. That's not starting at ground zero. That's starting somewhere in the middle. And so it's not, you know, it's just that I never really was able to, none of the original artists that I worked with became massive marquee names. And so I had to, you know, go and really develop artists, but I enjoyed that part too. Even when I had the biggest of clients, you know, or my biggest clients, I was always on the hunt for new artists because I liked that process. It was rewarding to me to take an artist that literally no one cared about.
Yep.
And this has happened time and, you know, a handful of times, and I'm sure you experience it, where people are just like, who, what, why, I don't care. That band, yeah, they're a cover band. They played some cheesy song, or that guy's annoying. And it's like, okay, I get that. But what I see is where I think they can go. And so time and time again, I've been able to take artists from a place where no one else in the industry really paid any attention to a place where then, you know, people in the industry were, you know, jumping head over heels to try to work with the band. So...
Well, you just reminded me of something in my own life, and then I'm going to cut you off for a second, and we will go, I guess, to the second part of the show where we're going to talk about Jabberjaw a lot, because
cool.
I like Jabberjaw, and I just had Shane on the show, actually, last week, and it was a really great episode. So I guess the way that I pay my bills, I don't know if you know this, is managing producers. And I manage bands, but that LA, it's very expensive. And so I've maybe made a half year's rent, maybe a tad more. But I found a band, and I'm not going to be specific, and they hadn't even played a show. And then a year and change later, signed a record deal. And I can tell you that that was so damn fulfilling. So for me and for them, I mean, their lives literally changed. And so it's just really, really cool being at something from the ground up. And like you said, like, I would love to manage Slipknot. I would love to manage a band that sells out in the 5-cap venues. I would. But it's also great just being a part of it, part of the team from the beginning. So shout out to you for being a way more successful manager than I am and working with smaller bands as well. So thank you for that.
Well, no, I appreciate that. And congrats to you on that signing. And I'm sure there's been more and there will be many more. And, you know, I have a lot of these little sayings that I say. And one of them is, you know, you can't rush greatness. Like, it's taken me 13 plus years to get to where I am managerially. And you said you're 2 years in. So I'd imagine when you're 13 years in, you will have had at a minimum, you know, the level of success that you're attributing to me.
I hope so. I mean, I want to have my management bar mitzvah soon, the 13-year thing. I think that it's in the cards, you know. I'm really hoping for that. So, Emily, I guess, can you wrap this up for segment one with one adjective?
Nice.
Wow. You know what? That's a good one.
I know.
It's much better than not nice.
Which would be two words.
Emily, this is why I love her and she likes me. She corrects
me. That was good.
She's good. Let me tell you something. I'll say this on record. If you think that in 13 years I have potential, Give Emily 4 years. She's going to be running shit.
Thank you.
I mean it. And now she laughed and smiled. So we're going to take a short break and we're going to get back to Mike Mowry, where I'm going to talk about all things Jabberjaw, DC, and I'm going to really, really try to talk about Hush Puppies a lot, but I don't think I will. Hello, we are back with Mike and Emily.
Hi.
Hello.
So, as stated before, Mike is in North Carolina. Emily is in a studio in Los Angeles, and so is Scott. So, currently, the majority sharehold is in California. So, sorry, dude.
Good place to be. Hey, I wouldn't complain.
I am not complaining. And here's the thing. Let's talk about complaining. Oh, my God. Thank you for that. Social media, guys. Don't complain. Don't do it. Don't make Facebook complain book. Free tip. What's your take on that, Mike?
Oh, man. It's just such an – I mean, so first and foremost, my – what I say about complaining is, you know, I can complain. Don't worry. I got tons of complaints, but who's going to listen, right? Like, I don't really want to hear your complaints. You don't want to hear mine. Regarding social media, I mean, it's such a monster. You know, I'm fascinated by it in so many ways. Like, you know, I know we're talking a lot about artist management. I watch certain artist managers or even other people in the business that are just on there all day long. And I'm trying to figure out how they have the time to be on there all day long. You know, I'm just like, am I not using my time correctly?
Chances are you are.
I would guess so too, but it is. It's just interesting to watch how certain people do it. And yeah. I mean, complain book or, you know, complain Instagram or whatever.
Complain Twitter. That's not funny, but anyway.
But I agree. Try not to complain if you can. Everybody's got stuff going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And I think, you know, the best way to get around that is if you could try to be positive as you can be.
Be positive and complain to your family and friends off social media. And let's get back to what you said. How do they have the time? I'll be straight with you. I am on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram a lot for fun and for my job. I'll be straight with you. But let's just say, for example, that I had an artist that was having a meeting. And this is a meeting. This is not a signed contract. A meeting with Epic Records. Let's just say I did. I would never, ever, ever, ever post going to Epic Records. Let's just say I sent 100 emails out today. I'm not going to write down, sent 100 emails today, exhausted. It's just the really hard workers are not telling you how hard they work. That's just
absolutely. That's, well put.
Thank you.
You sum that up better than I could have, and thank you for doing so, because that's the way I feel all the time. It's what? Not, you know, no need to brag about any of that stuff, because that's what we signed up to do.
Yep. Way. I mean, be humble. And here's the thing, as far as a label announcement goes, and as far as – actually, let's go back, because I worked at a law firm 5.5 years before I became a manager, and I'm telling you this, like, for me, and you obviously know this – nothing is finalized till a contract is signed, and then it's still not even finalized. So if you're going on these meetings, that's great. You're in a door, but just know that that door has not completely opened. So please comment on this, and then we're going to talk about Jabberjaw.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think you're right once again, and it's exciting. I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with being excited about the work that you do and the work that you do for your clients. I mean, just this week, I had a spare second, was really excited about a tour that I'd landed for one of my artists, and it was announcing the next day, and I put something like, you know, just landed a great tour for one of my artists. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, what's that? And it was one of those where I rarely do it, but I was excited about it. I didn't say what it was. I didn't, you know, do any of that. But inevitably, the next day when it came out, people knew what I was talking about. But that's, yeah, that's really all I got.
Well, that's all you, Scott. Hey-o. Emily shook her head. Emily, can you comment on that dad joke before we talk about Jabberjaw?
A-plus dad joke, always here for them.
I love the tone of your voice when you comment on my dad jokes, Emily. Thank you.
No problem.
Emily is the future of the music industry. How do you like that, if I say it like that? Do you like that?
This is just my voice.
I can't control. You know, she has like resting bitch face for her voice.
I'm trying to remember what the there was a show, and I'm older than both of you, but there was a show in the 80s about a little robot girl, and that was sort of the voice that you.
It's oh not Alf, right?
No, it wasn't Alf, although that would be tight.
You're not that much older than me, I assume, but then again, you know what? Assume I'm 36. A lot of people think that I'm 12. I'm not.
There you go.
There I go.
If you take your age and add the assumed age, you've almost got my age.
So I assume 79. So you are in the triple digits. So dope.
Something like that.
Well, mazel tov for actually having a conversation that doesn't involve a rat for being as old as you are. So good on that. All right. So Jabberjaw. What's kind of funny is the way that I said a rat, I kind of had a Jabberjaw. So tell me about Jabberjaw and 700 words or more. I really want to hear about this because is it technically a competitor to Adobe? I'm not even sure.
No, we actually partner with Adobe on many of our shows.
Damn right.
Jabberjaw is an independent media network. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's a podcast network. However, one of our founders wanted to be very clear that, you know, we didn't just brand ourselves as podcasts because you know, podcast is really merely just a format, if mm-hmm. you will. So we have assembled, you know, somewhere in the 15 to 20, mostly music based podcasts. And, you know, it includes shows like Shane Told's Lead Singer Syndrome, which mm-hmm. is one that we helped develop, which is a really great one.
It's so good. I just got a fanboy on that show. That's one of my favorite podcasts ever.
And we've got, you know, tons of others over there. So if you go to jabberjawmedia.com, you can find out all of the information on the shows that we have.
Well, Mike Herrera is going to be on Waldman's Words, so go figure.
Very cool. Yeah, Mike Herrera. We've got Bad Christian Podcast. And
that's Emery, right?
That is two of the guys from Emery, and mm-hmm. their pastor, you know, pastor church buddy, Joey. Mm-hmm. And then Matt Carter, guitar player of Emery, also has a show called Break It Down. We've got 100 Words or Less, which is Ray Harkins.
Yep.
We've got
Taken. Is he Taken or I'm not sure.
Ray was the singer of Taken.
There
that's
we
right.
go.
And has been around the music biz for quite some time. And I mean, really, you know, what I love, and so I helped found it along with Matt Carter, and then another individual who isn't involved in Ray Harkins was actually one of the people that brought us all together, but he wasn't able to come in as a founder because of a job that he was working that was more or less with a competitor. So
yep.
I, you know, got interviewed on 4 or 5 podcasts all within a couple of months because people thought that my story of, you know, punk rock dude playing a band, became a manager was interesting. And I just fell in love with the format.
Why do you think I have a show, man? That's how I got the show, Artist Turned Manager. So, but you're far more successful.
I
so.
Think it's great. I love the storytelling component of it, and I love where it's going, and just all of the exciting content that is coming out in that space.
Well, speaking of content in that space, you do this yourself, correct?
Do podcasting?
Yeah,
that is correct. Myself and Belasco.
Yep. Mercenary.
Yep. We do a show called Managemental.
Mm-hmm.
So that that's been a lot of fun. I was doing one for a while called O Marks the Spot, which was an attempt to allow people to peek inside some of the things, you know, the trials and tribulations that we deal with at Outer Loop on a weekly basis. But, you know, it just was one of those that it became too challenging for me to be able to do both podcasts every week.
It's a lot of time, man. It's a lot of time.
It is. And, but I've got, you know, I love the space and I'm working on some things, with a couple of people, you know, to try to continue to push the envelope on what we've been doing thus far in that space.
Well, I try to do one a week. And so I drive because I don't want to do this at my apartment when I don't live that far from the studio and they are extremely nice enough to give me access. So I try to do it once a week and I'm booked for a long time. And as you know, and not the people listening, you've been booked on this show for at least like a few months now. So I just want to thank you and also thank Blake Cordero for linking me up with you, who is actually a guest on this show. And speaking of Blasco, both Chris and Dan at Mercenary were separate guests on this show. So this is a very incestuous show. So shout outs to all of
them. Yeah, no, and that's cool. And I think you find that a lot. You know, people, you know, as more and more podcasts come up, more and more people kind of make the rounds. And it is. It's exciting because I think, you know, the transparency that it allows people to start to see, you know, many of us, myself included, you know, there's nothing terribly unique about me, you know, that gave me some superpower to become an artist manager.
Well, your hard work is unique because there's a lot of people.
I agree. But it's not so unique. I mean, yes, there's plenty of other people that work hard. There's plenty of people that work smart. You know, I'm passionate. Like I said, I really care about the artists. And I think doing all of that, you know, consistently over time is what's allowed me to have, you know, the results that I've had. But, you know, I wake up every morning and put my pants, or in the case today, my shorts on one leg at a time. And I guess, you know, what I like about the podcasting format is, you know, you find in these real honest conversations, you tend to end up liking people more than, or I tend to end up liking people more than maybe I would without it.
I like you more with this. I'm just telling you that flat out.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, a perfectly good example is there's plenty of times that, whether it be Shane's show, or I'm a big fan of the Josta podcast, JB Josta.
Hate Breed.
You know, where there'll be somebody on there that maybe I don't think I like their band, or just haven't paid enough attention to care. And then I will go and listen to them talk about their band and their life experience and, you know, whatever it took to turn them into the person that they are. And then I'll be like, okay, I want to go check that music out.
And conversely, this statement of never meet your heroes. I have met some, and I will not get specific, maybe over a vegan beer off the air, but basically I have met someone who I would argue is in probably top 100 most successful bands of all time. And I'm saying all time. And I met him, and I can promise you I was polite and short with him, but not short in a bad way. And he answered me with a, huh. And so that, which was not even technically a word. I mean, I don't even know how to spell that. And my Bachelor of Arts was in English, and I just don't get it. And so all he could have said was thanks, or hey, I'm busy, or whatever. And now every time I listen to that person's music, I hear the huh, and it just sucks. So it's very, very cool when there's someone in a band that you're not even into, that, or you're just apathetic, or, you know, like you said, you know, you just never were into it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, not to completely, I'll just play devil's advocate for a second.
Please do.
Well, just one of the things that I've learned in life is just, you know, everybody's in different places at different times. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people are going through things.
Might catch them on a bad day.
Yeah. And so I tend to try to give somebody the benefit of the doubt, especially if it's just once. You know, I mean, I think if this guy blew you off, or, you know, did whatever that word that we can't spell two or three times, all right. But, you know, just on the once, maybe you say it was a bad day.
Can I play devil's advocate to your devil's advocate?
Well, we got to come up with a name for that, though.
Emily, interrupt us both. What's the best term for this? Because what we're going to do is...
I got it.
No, let Emily go first. Let Emily go first, please.
He seems pretty confident.
No, Emily's trying to avoid the issue. Emily first, and then Mike's is going to potentially trump it, pun intended.
So a word for the devil's advocate to the devil's advocate.
Yeah.
How about Scott?
Why the fuck did you do that? All right, go for it, Mike.
Tasmanian devil's advocate.
Is that what? Wow. All right, so you officially climbed the dad joke ladder, Mr. Mowry.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, you are older than I am. And you have children, right? Or child.
Do.
We won't go into specifics. We won't say your social security number on the air just next time. But basically, yes, yeah, Scott, Emily, that's messed up. And Tasmanian devil advocate, I mean, I'm going to use the word sure because that was semi-funny. But I'm going to say Scott Tasmania. And so that's what this devil's advocate. So
I thought you were using Shure because you're sponsored by them and speaking into a Shure microphone.
No, that was a much better dad joke, so thank you for that. No, I'm actually hoping to get sponsored by any coconut water company because now she laughs. I would love that. Or since Mike is here, I would love to be sponsored by Satan, by all of Satan. Thank you. I love genuine laughs. No, devil's advocate to your devil's advocate. Here's the thing. You're right. You know, I agree. I might have caught him on a bad day, and it's true. But is it really a bad day if someone responds to you? Like, isn't he just a dick? Like, I don't see any other justification of that.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I just am trying to think of what band it is.
I am not going
and
to.
Specifically, which member?
I am telling you this 100%.
And I have a guess, and I'll take it to you off the air.
Take it to me off the air, and I will confirm or deny, but this is another thing about social media. Thank you for that. You took my transition and transitioned it into another Scott Taz Shure transition. So going on social media and bitching about, and I say bitching because I mean it, bitching about another manager or a label or anyone is just not a good look, man. Care to comment on that, please?
Yeah, I mean, social media is a very delicate line. It gives you an ability to voice certain things that you might never have been able to do so without it. That said, there is a certain tact that must be followed if you would like to be taken seriously.
So, I agree.
I generally, like 98%, agree with your comment. I always leave a little bit of room for that 2%.
That's fine. It's milk. 2% milk is the kind of milk I like. And also, I am fine with 98% because 97 and up is an A+. So, thank you. Even if you gave me a 91%, that's an A-. But Fran Waldman, my mother, would be like, "Why didn't you get an A? What the heck? What did you do wrong?" And so I appreciate the vote of confidence. So speaking of confidence, I'm confident that this is by far my favorite interview with Mike Mowry. Can you comment on that, Emily?
I agree.
You agree that it's my favorite?
No, I agree that, you know, I'll say, yeah, me too.
Me too, thanks. So, Mike, we're almost done with this. I just want you to, I guess, plug your bands, plug your show, plug whatever you want to plug, or don't plug anything. Plug hair plugs, whatever you want to do. This is your time.
Much appreciated. No, thanks for inviting me on and making the time. I'm honored. And you can check out most of what I am doing over at outerloop.group. We are a management company, record label, as well as a coaching platform, which has been designed to really help, you know, more artists. I continue to find so many artists coming to me asking how they can do certain things. And so we're developing a curriculum sort of as we go, piece by piece, to really, help and benefit artists. So that's what we're doing in the music space. And then, as you mentioned, Jabberjaw Media in the podcast space, which includes my own podcast with Blasco called Managemental. I'm very fortunate to be involved with a lot of really exciting things that I'm passionate about. And so once again, thanks for giving me the platform. And that's what I got.
That's what you, Scott. Hey, Emily, stop chiding me with your ocular. Emily.
What?
What exactly? It went over my own head. So, Emily, can you please give an adjective to describe the second section of the show other than nice or not nice?
You said single.
I said adjective, so it could be more than one word if you want, but if you want to use singular adjective.
Incredible.
Wow. Mike, that's a good word.
We got nice and incredible. I don't know if it's directed at you or me or both of us, but listen, I'll take it.
It's all three of us because
awesome.
I'd say that, you know what, I really try to let the guests on this show, and I don't want to say my guests because I don't own you, but the guests on this show speak. So I would say that Emily Burke was like 98% of this and the two of us split 2% milk.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, Emily, who are the next few guests coming up on the show?
We have Corey Rexland.
Who is that?
He was a member of your old band, Greenlight Theory.
One of my old bands. It was a good band, but it wasn't my favorite. I just want to say that on record. But I love Corey. He's one of my favorites. And Corey is actually the reason why Emily and I know each other.
That's true.
So who are the next few guests after that?
Ooh, after that we have...
It rhymes with Barra.
Oh, Mara.
Yeah.
I always want to call her Mara. I'm sorry.
It might. No, it's okay. It's not Maury Povich. Her name is Mara. She has a publishing company called Superior Music Publishing. And... she's amazing, and she's really smart. And then we have Bobby from the band Stock Smile, and he is managed by my partner Ross Roby at Rolling Artists, and I've never met him, so he should be great. And then the following week, we've got Jason Hollis, who used to manage the Pink Spiders, who signed a major, major deal and played Warped Tour with me and my old band, The City Drive, in 2006. So, Mike, I appreciate you doing the show. And if you can come up with an adjective to describe this, that would be sick, dude.
Sick, dude.
Thank you. I'm going to come up with an adjective, too, right now. Rad, dude.
It's gnarly.
Gnarly.
Nice. Yeah. Well, go listen to – you asked me to plug bands, and I didn't do a good job of that because
– go for it.
There's a lot to plug, but
– pick three, pick three, pick three, pick three.
In no particular order nor preference, of course, but based on things that are happening with them right this second, Knight Argent, 100 Sons, and Nominee.
Here's the thing. I'm just going to close this out by saying those bands are great, but Nominee is one of my favorite young bands in the scene. And as we mentioned about Blake Cordero, I am definitely a Nominee fanboy. I think that in this saturated pop punk community, they really stand out. So congrats to you and Blake for picking them up, because they fucking rule.
I agree.
Well, you know what, Emily?
Mm-hmm.
thank you
Mike.
Have a good day.
Thanks to both. Appreciate it. Bye.